surface who and what the heck they are. That's why you ought not be, you know, what's going on here? It has to be proved that one is true and one is false. Now, here's how you can tell who the true Christian is. The true Christian will always walk and leave the building because he don't want nothing.
Because Christians live loose and don't hold on tight to stuff.
Right.
Even when it comes to the place you've been worshiping and you have friends.
Their loyalty is Christ. Their loyalty, that's it. Their loyalty is Christ alone, Mark Ramsey. Only Jesus Christ, nothing else. Not
because I have Christ in me, so I can walk. Because it's not the building, it's not the people. Especially if you can see they're going crazy.
Right.
You could just up and walk.
I remember the first sermon that I preached at 95th and Broadway. I said that the minute we turn from these principles, this ministry is over. And I they looked at me and I said, oh, you don't believe me, do you? I said, if you do not adhere to this building that God has given us almost literally, and adding more people to it, this ministry will dissolve. And it is non-existent today. It is non-existent. But they got about $500,000 in equity after the, and if you go to 95th and Broadway in Los Angeles, a new school building is on the property. The ministry for the Lord is gone, dissolved. Why? Because they turned their back. And they're spread all over the city. All over the city. Mark, you won't believe this. I went to see Ron Thrash.
Okay.
Ron Thrash, he's a deputy sheriff. And I had to go and get a sandwich on the way to the college. I had an emergency meeting. So I went to see Ron Thrash. And when I went in and he said, my pastor, Ron. And so we hugged each other and he said he was talking to his wife, Sharon, 2 days ago. He says, not 48 hours ago, Sharon was asking about you. And she said, have you heard from Pastor John? And he said, no, I haven't. He said, I passed him on the 105 freeway. He was going transitioning to the 110 South. I said, yeah, I was on my way to work. He said, well, I passed you. I think he was in the sheriff car going somewhere. And he saw me. So I told him what I was doing, teaching at the college. And since he has a computer at his desk there, I said, go to my website. And he began to look at all the YouTube clips and everything. He says, oh, my God. I said, is that your bald head sitting in the church? He said, that looks like me. And I said, Ron, all this stuff is up on YouTube. And when I get more time, I'll put more up there. And he said, I'm going to, he said that Stephanie Boyd, Sharon's sister, still watches me from Texas.
She's
down in Texas. And they're all saying, yeah, Pastor John is, I listen to him all the time. And so there, you see, there's a handful of people, because once they look back and see what all the screaming was about and all the foolishness was about and see what happened to those folk and what they're all about, man, that's why you have to walk away from the heresies, walk away from the people that cause that. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions. Those are the things that the destructive heresies bring into the church. Those are the things that no Christian ought to have any kind of involvement with. Because verse 19 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are these. And that's what the false teachers bring about, these dissensions. And I have to tell you that if you teach the truth of God's word, they're going to accuse you, ladies and gentlemen, of being the person that brings the dissension. The Greek word for destructive basically means damnation, bringing damning heresies. The word is used 6 times in this letter of Peter, and it always speaks of final damnation. The damnation for the false teacher itself, Mark, and the damnation for the person that follows him.
Oh, wow.
See what I'm talking about? See, man, that's why when people are following these people and refuse to, you better watch it.
God has no loose ends.
Obviously, somebody may talk, well, are you saying that Tim Butler is damned? No, I don't think that Tim Butler of Stand Up Ministry is following his crooked pastor at all. I just believe that if somebody's been in a church almost their whole life. It is very difficult for them to leave that, but you're just going to find yourself arguing with these sinners, especially when the sinners are running the ship. I like what Melvin Jones of Pulpit Pimps did. When he saw what John Jenkins did, he got out. He just immediately got out. Now, his whole family ain't out, but he's out, because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to walk. You have to be that example. You men that are listening to me, you need to develop some intestinal fortitude, and you need to get out. This is why it is so tragic when a church makes a virtue out of a toleration of unscriptural teachings and ideas in the name of love and unity. Now, we got some more scriptures we're going to look at. I'm going to ask Mark to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14. And I'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I hope that you guys are taking this down. And also, I'll be ready with the Titus text right after that, and that'll be Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Now, I want to just reiterate that again. This is why it is so tragic that when the church makes a virtue out of the toleration of unscriptural teachings, the ideas in the name of the idea of love and unity, they're doing it just for love and unity and peace and harmony and reconciliation. You can't do that. Mark, give us a 2 Thessalonians 3 and 14.
If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame.
Wow. I don't think you can get any plainer than that.
No loose
the
ends.
Word of God says, don't have anything to do with him. No association with him. Now, let me go back to my example about Tim Butler and his crooked pastor. What's he even going there talking with him for?
Do not associate.
That's
with
what
him.
It says. Now, what's hard for these Christians to do is to break that off.
The emotional tie.
Whatever it is, the Bible says break it off. See, everybody, how could you? I remember Dr. Levert asked me after I resigned Olivet, how could you leave like that? I says, Dr. Levert, what? The Bible told me to have no association with them. You're responsible for their souls. That's what he told me. I said, are you nuts? I said, I don't see no holes in my side and hands. Bible told me to get out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's how come I left living by the word. Get out. My wife even asked me, honey, what about our money? He didn't tell me to worry about no money. He told me to get out. I want you Christians that are living in the year 2009 to listen to me. You need to follow the scripture. Mark, could you please read that again? I don't think they heard that verse.
If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame.
Right. For the caller, the call, we're in the middle of a webcast. I'll get back with you. Thank you. He says to get out. Let me read mine, and then you'll understand how serious this is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the last times, some will fall away from the faith. Make sure that's not you, listener. Paying attention to deceitful spirits. Make sure that's not you, listener. And doctrines of demons. Make sure that's not you, listener. Yeah, wait a minute. Let me pause right here. I had up on the website that a guy that I knew that worked at the police station, a commander of 77 Division, died of a heart attack. And I asked the lady that knows the family to tell me where the funeral was. She told me that it was going to be at Crenshaw Christian Center.
And you said?
Fred Price's church. I said, I won't be there. Why? Because the Bible tells me not to go to places like that.
Don't go to those places.
Don't even go to them. Now, what am I going there trying to think I'm going to have God there? Oh, well, you know, shut up. The Bible tells you to come out from amongst them and be ye separate. Now, was he a member of that church? If he was a member of that church, damnation. If Fred is damned, then he's damned. Now you get it? And he's dead at 53. Now where do you think his soul is? Wait a minute. Some of you getting upset? Y'all getting upset out here? You don't like that? Guess who don't care? Now, can I continue to read the Holy Scriptures? By means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. In other words, they just branding you with it, and you just letting them burn it in your flesh. And then it says, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. Those of you on Lent season during Easter, you can't eat certain food. You better eat up anything you can. And you let times get rough. I see you munching. See, let me keep on. People, Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 reads like this. But shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law. You ever go to ministries and people are always arguing how old the earth is? 7-day theory as opposed to the 14 million year. Man, shun them. You're not growing doing that.
You just said the guy that you know is battling with people because the place he's in is
yes.
As a crooked, you know,
yes.
Unprofitable and worthless.
You know, worthless. Worthless arguments, man. Worthless. Wasting your time. Fussing with people about mess. And then it says, for they are unprofitable. And then it says in verse 10, look at verse 10 of Titus chapter 3. It says, reject a factious man after the first and second warning. In other words, you warn him and say, look here, man, wait a minute, he's still. And then it says, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. See, that's why I don't argue with Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't argue with none of them. Y'all going to hell. Oh no! Well, why do you get out of my face? I just read the Bible verse, gave it to you. See, when you are truly a fundamentalist, you're going to do what the Bible tells you to do.
We'd like to give you a watchtower.
I said, you can take that mess. I said, you better start running because the flames of hell are following you as you try to share that foolishness with me. Oh, yes. Now, back to the main text. Look what it says. Let's go back. But false prophets who also arose amongst the people, just as there will also be false teachers amongst you, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and says, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Now, let's talk about denying the Lord. This phrase exposes the depth of the crime and the guilt of the false teacher. See, the false teacher and the false follower of that false teacher has committed a great depth of crime and guilt. This unusual Greek word for Lord appears 10 times in the New Testament and means one who has supreme authority. They have denied the one who has supreme authority. That's why Pastor John quotes the word of God to you, the Bible. I'm not quoting you my opinion. I'm not giving you any denominational leadings. I'm just quoting the Bible. Listen, whether human authority or divine authority, this word denying the Lord. Peter here warns us. He warns that false prophets deny the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. And of course, their heresies include some of them deny the virgin birth. Some of them will deny the bodily resurrection. You've heard of this group of guys out there talking about the resurrection always has already taken place, and preterists is what they call themselves and all that kind of stuff. These are false teachers. They deny the bodily resurrection, the second coming of Christ. They don't believe, well, I'm not premillennial, I'm post, I'm post-toasties, whatever they are, you know. But all false religions have an erroneous Christology, and these individuals are involved in misrepresenting Christ. Now, let me tell you, They aren't doing it by error. They're doing it on purpose. Benny Hinn is a prime example. Prime example. The heresies that he espoused, a TBN as a network espouses false heresies. They're doing this purposefully, and they've gotten the money to prove it. The god of their bellies. Now, when it says in this verse, Peter says, who bought them? The term which Peter used here is more analytical than theological, speaking about the human master over a household. See, the master bought slaves. And keep it in mind that when the Bible was written, that a Christian could even own slaves. You have to read the book of Philemon, and you can find that out. Philemon owned a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus had run away when Paul was in Rome in custody. He came in contact with Onesimus, and Onesimus had become a Christian, and Paul sent Onesimus back to Philemon with a letter and told Philemon that if it cost him anything, that he would take care of the overpayment that Onesimus caused him. Now, you may say, how can I believe in a faith that condone slavery? You getting up going to work every day? Shut up. Don't tell me about that. Wait a minute. And even if you own your own business, you a slave driver because you got people working for you. And if they don't work for you, you want what? You won't pay them. And as you keep living, some of you going to wish you were somebody's slave when this economy keep dipping and all that kind of stuff. So we have an Old Testament parallel in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Mark, do you have that? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 5 and 6 gives us an analogy of this bought them or this slave mentality.
They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you?
There it is.
He has made you and established you.
See, we have scripture to back up everything here in Into the Word Ministries. And this outline that I'm using, though not mine, and I copied it years and years ago. I don't know from where I copied it. And I did get the guy's permission to use it because it's a word of God and it's pertinent to use today as we find so many Christians falling deeper and deeper and deeper into confusion and chaos. If you are a slave of God, you know better. God had bought Israel, though they had rejected him. Christ has bought us, now watch this, though we can't reject him. You see what I'm talking about? It was different for Israel because they could reject God.
Right.
But we supposedly have become new creatures through the new birth.
Right.
Now, we have the new birth and we're going to follow a lion pimp? Doesn't make any sense at all. Doctrinally, this analogy can be viewed as responsibility for submission to God, which the false teacher has refused. You see, you have to understand the false teacher refuses God. Why would you follow somebody that has refused God? There's where the problem comes. The problem comes from we aren't being real with it. You've refused God. You've refused to follow him if you follow the false teacher. And so what do we understand about this passage here? All right, I'm just making sure that I'm still, no, I'm not, hold on. I guess I'm still recording. I didn't know whether I was still recording there. I had a little glitch in the system there. Okay, so this is where I'm going. Beyond this, they are probably claiming, look at this. Submission to God, which the false teacher has refused. Beyond this, the false teacher is probably claiming that they are Christians. See, and that's what you guys listening to me have to understand. The false teachers are claiming to be Christians, and that's how they win you over. Well, I'm trying to. No. And they're claiming that so that the Lord had bought them actually and personally with some sarcasm. So they're saying, well, the Lord bought me, but I'm a rebel that he bought. That's what they're saying. Okay. The Lord bought me.
Yeah.
But this is who he made me. So God is still speaking through me. Now, you know what he's making.